sign or a calendar for, I guess it's got February and March. It looks the same, but January's off of it, and February and March are there. And if you still say your birthday's not on there or different things, one of those information forms, fill that out. We're all supposed to fill those out. If you lost yours, I'm sure, oh, Dee's got hers right there. Perfect. I'll take yours so everyone can be reminded what it looks like, and hopefully I get it where it's supposed to go. But I know it was your birthday yesterday, Dee, and your anniversary on the 15th, and then Lauren. Oh, Lauren's is in May. For some reason, I thought Lauren's birthday was it was all together, bunched up. But anyway, so it looks like this. So if you didn't fill one of these out, you need to get one of those filled out and turned in. It's not super hard. Please do that. If you say you lost it, I can get you another copy, and that'll be totally fine. We're trying to update all the records and make sure things are up to date where they need to be with everybody, and so that'll be a good thing. And that's good. All right, a couple of announcements this morning. Today, after our next service at 11:30, will be our afternoon service. We're looking at the fruit of meekness. When we're done, we're having a potluck together, Italian themed. I saw different dishes. Maria Fischetti made probably the heaviest salad I've ever lifted in my life, and I think that's because if a salad's heavy, that normally means there's some meat in it, so that's a good thing when it's heavy. If it's light, it's just that rabbit food, and there's nothing else in there. You need some substance when it comes to a salad there. But there's lots of different things, so we'll have a good time together. The weather's looking better outside right now. Who knew? It's sunny right now. And so it hasn't rained in almost a year, and it decides to rain on a Sunday morning in California. In the Midwest, it can be snowing 6 inches, and it doesn't mess anybody up. Drizzle in California, and everything gets messed up for everybody. And so the potluck will be after the next service. On the 8th of February, we have our Food for Life that we do on that Saturday. And then on Super Bowl Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today, after the services, I've had a party at my house the past couple of years, so you're welcome to come. If you say you don't have my address, there could be one of two reasons. One, I didn't want you to have it, or you just haven't gotten it. And so more likely you just didn't get it. So if you want that and you want to come over, we'll have food. I know Daniel said he might bring something, but you don't need to bring anything. I'm going to let him because that sounds good to me. But if you don't have to bring anything, I'll have plenty of food there for whoever comes, and we'll have a good time together. And hopefully the Chiefs lose today. Otherwise, you know, tired of seeing them win. And so the Chargers need to win, but they're already out, so that doesn't matter anymore. All right, I think that's it for announcements there. And so we're going to go ahead and have the ushers come for the offering today. Can you believe we're at the last Sunday of January already? It's crazy to think. Look at you. Clean. 1 week you wear your scrubs. 1 week you're in a suit. I never know what to expect of you. I like it. Nice job. All right, you look sharp. And even if it doesn't, you just as long as it's not like totally at your sides, the coat, you'll be fine. Just don't button it, because some people, when their suit coats get a little tight, it's kind of like that cork. It just goes, and you got to watch for people's eyes and all that good stuff. All right, yeah, when I lost all my weight, I had 4 good suits. I got 1 suit that fits real good now, so I'm slimming back down. Then the other suits will fit me well, hopefully. Or if not, who knows what I'll do. Anyways, let's pray together, and let's have the offering day. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness and your love for us. We thank you for another Sunday that we're gathered in your house. Lord, help us guide our thoughts, guide our direction this morning. Help us to focus in on just the blessing we have to be in church this morning. Lord, we need you. We love you. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A good song in the middle of a kind of a storm. It's going back and forth, but Take our Bibles, did Colossians chapter number 3. I want you to turn there to this passage. I'm going to show you a few verses. We'll have you put up on the screen before that the purpose and relationship, starting next week for the month of February. So each month is a different topic throughout this year. The first month has been discovering your purpose. Next month, it's purpose and relationships. Now, this is what some of you think. Well, since it's purpose and relationships, I'm not married or not planning to, then it doesn't apply to me. No. I don't try to ever preach a message that doesn't apply to anyone who is here. I try to put truth in the message to apply to everyone. And so as we go here, starting next week, I'm just going to give you a couple of the topics that we're looking at. It'll just be working in the relationships, loving as Christ loved us. So that could be your relationship with a fellow church member, your kids, your family, whatever the case may be. We're going to look at the following week, building bridges and not walls. One of the biggest hindrances to relationships are the walls that we build in place, be it pride, be it not forgiving others, and we hurt relationships with those things. Jesus made a bridge from, you know, we sing that song, How Great the Chasm That Lay Between Us. There was a great chasm between us and the Lord, a great separation, but Jesus built a bridge to get us to God. And so we got to build bridges and not walls in our relationships. And we'll look at several things. So next month it will be good, and it will apply to everything that we do, and whatever, it could be a work relationship, any relationship in life. So don't get the idea just for one group of people. It's for everyone and the purpose behind it. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at discovering our purpose and understanding what our purpose is and what the Lord's doing in our lives. As we jump into the message today, the first 2 points are really going to be review of what we've covered over the first 3 weeks, and then I'm going to tie the series together with the last 2 points today, and then hopefully there will have been something over the past several weeks that helps you in this area of discovering your purpose. Too many Christians wander through their life kind of like a jellyfish. They just float around aimlessly. If in the Christian life you just float around, there's no purpose behind what you do, you're missing out on what really matters. And we'll look at that even more this morning. But what are you here for? Why are you in church this morning? The look at some of your faces this morning, someone may have forced you to come. I don't know. I'm glad I got to come to church now this morning. You hear me? At 6 something when I'm laying in bed and it's raining outside and those covers were nice and warm, I had second thoughts. Like, it would be nice just to stay under these covers right now. That was the thought that ran through my head. But it only lasted for about 25 minutes. No, I got up. No, don't let those thoughts ever fester. And so I got up, did what I needed to do. And so purpose, why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? If you don't have a reason behind it and why you do it, you're not going to do it very much. Purpose matters. And so today, as we close out on discovering your purpose, we're going to look at the thought of living with intention. Colossians chapter number 3, I could read the whole chapter to you, but we're not going to do that. We're going to look at a few verses here. And look with me in Colossians 3 and verse number 10. Talks about put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of God that created him. And then you see there are lots of things for us to do. It says put on, therefore, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness in verse 12, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, all these things. And then having charity in verse 14, and letting the peace of God rule in our hearts, and letting God's word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And then verse 17 says this, so there's a list of things to do. And then this is what it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him and the Father by him. Do you see, as we do what the Lord would have us do, we've looked at the fact that God has a plan for our lives, and that we need to submit to God's plan. What we just saw there in these verses, there are things God wants us to do. And then what does it say? Do your very best and give God your best in word and deed. Then we could follow on the chapter down in verse number 18. Talks about the husband-wife relationship. Talks about children and their parent relationship. And children, have your parents listen to you and all that you say. No, it doesn't say that. Children, what does it say? Obey your parents. That's what the Bible says. There's a reason behind that. And then it talks about fathers, how to train and discipline your children. It talks about the servant-master relationship and employer-employee relationship, things like that. And look at what verse number 23 says. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So as we look this morning and we think on that thought of living with intention, everything that God has for us and God's plans and the things that the Lord allows us to do, we should do to the best of our ability. Let me ask you this morning before we even dive into the message, are you giving God 100%? Hey, this morning when you sang songs a little bit ago, did you give the Lord 100%? In your offerings, and I'm not saying give him 100% of all that you have. Did you in your offerings give 100% that the Lord wanted you to? As you're sitting here getting ready for the message to hear it now, are you listening and are you in the service? Or are you out in left field? Or potluck? Or in and out? Or whatever the case may be? Or Burger King? I don't know. When you read your Bible today or yesterday, did you give God 100%? Do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. As you went to work this week, did you give God your very best? Or did you just get through and float through? Husbands, did you give God your best at home for your wife and your children? Wives, did you give your best to your husband and your children as unto the Lord? Whatever we do, we are to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Living with intention means aligning your daily actions with God's purposes and taking deliberate steps to honor him in all that we do. Number one, as we dive in, this is review, God has a plan for you. I think if you've been here any length of time over the past few weeks, you've heard this statement over and over again. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you, and as God did with Jeremiah, God has plans for you, and God has it all worked out and has it working out. God's plans are purposeful. They're good and filled with hope. Think about the fact that, letter A, God's plans, they're not random. They're designed to prosper and to give hope. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I know there are many times people will look and say, well, God must not be happy. Why is God doing this? And we can't answer all those questions. The other day, I did a memorial service on Friday, and I got a phone call from someone who used to come to our church that moved to Moreno Valley, and they were like, this friend of mine was at my wedding that you did, and they want you to do a service. I'm like, okay. They texted me and said, can you do this service on this date for so-and-so? Okay. And I'm like waiting all week long for a call or something so I know I don't go to a memorial service and do them. I do ones where I don't know the person, but through the family, I get to know them, their likes, and how they are before I do a service, because I don't want to be the guy up there giving a message and like he's totally out of whack. He doesn't even know what's going on in the situation. So I waited. Thursday, I still hadn't heard anything. I sent a text Thursday morning. Are you guys going to give me any ideas about this thing? The service is tomorrow. And so the wife didn't come. Her two daughters came. And 2 weeks ago, there was a man that got killed, got ran over on the 71 freeway when his car broke down at 11 o'clock at night. And this was his wife. He was 66 years old. They were married 48 years. No health issues, really. Everything fine. And just struck dead on the 71 2 weeks ago. We can see verses like this. But what do you tell someone when that's their life? God doesn't do evil to us. God does have a plan. And we need to trust his plan. Even when it's hard, we need to trust him. Because he knows what's best. We talked about that last week. God's plans are not random. They're designed to prosper and to give hope. And the letter B, you were created for good works that God prepared in advance. We talked about that. And God's already got them laid out and prepared for us. And it's amazing to think on that thought and what the Lord does. And so we think about what it says in Ephesians 2, verse number 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before." He's already laid them out that we should walk in them. That's God's already got the path figured out. He's got the map. He's got everything there. And we just need to walk the way he wants us to walk. Now, when someone builds a building, the architect, there's a lot of work that goes into planning before there's ever one shovel of dirt moved. They have to have everything planned. They have all the plans laid out and all the designs there and the configurations and why you need to do this and why this has to happen. There are a lot of things we don't understand in life and things we don't know anything about. When we lived in Montana, the pastor there, we had a septic problem. We were on a hill and our septic tanks were down below. It was a mess, literally. And so he's like, "You need to get this figured out. And you can talk to contractors and you get everything for the church figured out and we'll bring it in a meeting." So I had to sit down with three different contractors. And do I know anything about hooking up to city sewer and all that? No, I didn't know that at the time. And one guy said, "Oh, we can do it. It's going to be like $5,000, not a big deal, and we can have it done quick." The next guy says, "Oh, it's five. How? Why would anyone? Because this guy quoted $5,000. It's going to be $50,000. He's like, "You're on a hill. Your tanks are at the bottom. You're down below. You have to have a motorized thing that shoots it up." Oh, I didn't know that. It didn't make sense to me. But after it got done, I'm glad we went with the guy that knew what he was talking about. That's amazing. You learn those things, and the only reason why we can have a restroom down in the classroom over there is because we got a pump that shoots it up over here. But I learned that from doing the work there. And we don't always understand, well, why do you need a pump? Why do you need this? You look at God, why are you doing this and why is this happening? God knows what he's doing in your life. And you need to trust him. And he's already laid it all out. God has a plan for you. Do you believe this morning that God has a plan for you? Are you struggling to understand that and to trust his design today? You might say, "Well, I don't have it all." We want to have the whole thing laid out. God knows it all, and it is all laid out for God, but that's not how it works for us. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. We looked at that last week. So you don't get to see the whole thing. You're in this moment. And as you grow and move more in this direction and faith to faith, he'll reveal more. And at the end, you'll see a clearer picture. And in heaven, you still got questions you can ask the Lord, but there are many people that say, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him." You are not going to ask him anything. You're going to fall before him and say, "My Lord, my God," and worship him, and it won't matter anymore in that day. God created you. God has a plan for you. Number two, we looked at this last week. We need to submit to God's plan. One of the hardest things for us is to submit to God's plan. It starts, first of all, letter A, we must surrender our desires. We all have desires. We have spiritual desires. We have fleshly desires. Some fleshly desires are not bad. Some are really bad. Like there are times I have a fleshly desire to eat ice cream. Anybody ever have that fleshly desire? Yes, okay. Now, then, Hot Fudge Sunday, someone said. I think I heard that. Whatever. Yes, there are fleshly desires. I love ice cream. It's one of my favorite things in all the world. I wish I could be like my dad and not grow a stomach or anything and eat ice cream all day long. He does it. But anyways, this isn't about my dad. It's one thing to eat some ice cream. What if my fleshly desire went that all I do is I sit down and I eat 2 gallons of ice cream at one time? That'd probably be gluttony right there. That maybe for you, 2 gallons at a time is not quite gluttony. What is it, William, that's this thing that you said you want to try? How much ice cream in a... Yeah, oh, Isaiah. What is the ice cream thing? William says he could eat 7 quarts of ice cream in under 2 hours. I will not let him do it. But literally, I don't think he can do that. But there are fleshly things that are... Every once in a while, I need a Dr. Pepper. It's not a sin, you know? But there are other things that we have desires that are completely wrong. We need to learn to take our desires and say, "Lord, I want what you desire." Bible says in Psalm 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart." It doesn't mean you delight in God's things and he'll give you whatever you want, because when you delight in God's things, your desires will change, and you will not want the same things. Isn't it amazing, the older you get, your taste buds change to some degree with certain things that I never thought I would eat that I'll eat now? Not many things, but a few things, you know? And as a kid, I couldn't stand tomatoes at all. I mean, the little ones, nothing, no tomatoes at all. And I'll eat them on a burger now. I had them on a salad the other day. They're all right. Never felt that way before. And we grow with things. But as we and then I've also tried to be more healthy, so I like more some healthier things that I never liked before. Like, you know, you get that plain almond milk. The thing is, it's got like 30 calories, so I can drink that or put in a smoothie and it doesn't do much to it. I still can't figure out how an almond you get milk from it, but if anybody can help me understand that one, I can't figure it out. I've tried squeezing my own almonds and it doesn't work. I thought I could have honey roasted almonds, and you squeeze the milk out of the honey roasted milk. Anyway, just kidding. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight in him, and he'll change your desires. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, put God first. Put your desires on the backside, and let the Lord have his way in your life. Submit our desires. Submit to his plan. Let her be. We got to give up control. We don't like to give up control. I mentioned it last week, and I should have finished up with my story. I like to drive, and I don't like other people driving me. I like control. But in all reality, I'm still not in control, because I can't control how Nick drives his car or how anyone else in this room or how Caroline drives. I can't control how anyone else drives on the road. So I'm really not in control, even though I think I'm in control. Isn't that how we view life sometimes? We think we've got it figured out. We think we have it under control, but we really don't. The devil thinks he's got this world under control, and he doesn't. He's in for a rude awakening one of these days. He's the god of this world, but there's the God of all that is above all, and he's over Satan as well. We need to learn to give up control. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways submit to him. And what's he going to do? He'll direct your path. You turn on that GPS. The GPS says turn right or turn left. And is the GPS always 100% accurate of the fastest way to where to go? No, it's not. But God is 100% correct in directing your path and giving you the right way to go. And it would do us well to listen to his voice and to do what he says. Proverbs 16:3 tells us, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Give them to the Lord. Submit it all to him, and let him have it. He's already got a plan. Know why most Christians can't find happiness in the Christian life? Because they got to do it their way, and they don't do it God's way. You want to find happiness? Obey him, and trust him, and do it his way. Sounds easy, but it's not easy. But how we need it. God has a plan for you. We need to submit to God's plan. And then number three, and this is where we get into it today, intentionally live each day with purpose. Intentionally live each day with purpose. Let me ask you a question before I dive deeper into this point. Did God give his very best to us? Yes, he did, in his son Jesus Christ. Then why can't we give God our best? It's a reasonable question. God gave his very best. Now, this is the thing. God doesn't force you to give you his best. He would like you to. And I don't know about you. There are things you might not be forced or whatever the case may be on. But I, as a kid, I could do things my own way with my parents, but I'd get in trouble. They didn't force me. But life went a lot better when I did what they wanted. Intentionally live each day with purpose. What do I mean by that? Letter A, living intentionally means aligning your actions with God's plan rather than drifting aimlessly. Why are you here? I don't know. That's not a good reason. Why are you in church this morning? Well, I knew Pastor wanted me to go. That's a terrible reason to be in church this morning. Well, God wants me to. Then why weren't you here last week? Ooh, that gets a little tougher when you say something like that. But if you know that God wants you to do it, and the Bible's clear that we're supposed to be provoking one another to work, to good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, I think it's clear God wants you to go to church. And you say, well, that means I can go once a week or three times. You can do whatever God leads you in that thing. But to me, the way I always viewed that was, whatever my church had church, that's when I went to church. If I went to a different church, then I would go to church when they go to church. But if church is, you go to church because the Lord wants you to, then go. Why do you read your Bible? I don't know. That's really the big reason. I don't know. Do you know you will not grow apart from the Word of God in your Christian life? You know God even promises to bless those that meditate and spend time in His Word? The Bible says that. So why do I read the Bible? Because I want to grow. There's a purpose. Why do you pray? I don't know. I don't know. That's communication with you and God. Jesus even said, not if you pray, he said when you pray like this. Jesus expected us to pray. Is prayer hard work? Yes, it's hard work. If prayer and Bible reading was easy, everybody would do it. It takes a lot of work. But what your purpose behind it? Why do you give at church? I don't know. I think that's half the reason, maybe, why our church financially struggles all the time. Because people don't know. Or you do know and you just don't follow through with it. And that's not my job to figure out. That's between you and the Lord in that realm. But the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And out of all that the Lord's done for me, I should give to Him. That's Bible. But there's purpose behind it. Living intentionally means aligning your actions with God's plans. God's plan is for you to read His Word. God's plan is for you to pray. God's plan is for you to go to church. God's plan is for you to give. God's plan is for you to be a good husband. God's plan is for you to be a good wife. God's plan is for you to be a good child. God's plan is for you to be a good citizen in the country you live in. Those are all God's plans. That's not even getting specifically narrowing every little thing down. But then do it. And as we looked at these verses in Colossians a minute ago, there are lots of things listed that says, and whatsoever ye do. There in verse 23, it says, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. Did you give God 100% when you read His Word this week? Did you give God 100% when you prayed? Did you give God 100% when you witnessed for Him this week? Did you give God 100% whatever it is? Those of you that will be teaching a class in a few minutes, do you give God 100% when you teach that class? Did you study for your class and give it 100%? Because we should give it and do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Solomon said it this way in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Hey, give God your best. Once you realize the fact that God has a plan and God has done all these things in your life and you submit to that plan, then do it with intentionality and with purpose. Live for Him. I got a lot more amens and a lot more smiles when I was talking about how you're fearfully and wonderfully made and how much the Lord loves you. But then mention things like this and everyone gets a little quieter. Out of all that the Lord's done and because of our identity is why we should live for Him. It's important. Letter B, intention is about more than big accomplishments. It's about bringing God glory in the ordinary. At work, do you bring God glory? At school, do you bring God glory? In the grocery store, do you bring God glory? Wherever you are, do it all for the glory of God. Isn't that what the scriptures say? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And I know in a little bit there's going to be that potluck and some of you are going to have that plate overflowing or be like, I'm doing it for the glory of God. But whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Other people should see the Lord through us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be faithful. Build your relationships and do things that bring honor to the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, are your daily actions helping you move closer to God's purpose in your life? Or are they helping lead you further away? And then number four, and almost lastly this morning, trust God to complete his work in you. It's amazing to me, I've lived in Southern California 33 years of my almost 40 years now, so 7 years I've lived in other places. And it always seems to me, and maybe you, it's different for you, but do you go on these freeways? There's always these signs that say road construction. And it's like they never get it done, and there's always more. It's just like the city of Chino here. I wish I could get them to listen. They're like, they close off certain streets. Why don't you just do one thing at a time? Instead of having 5,000 things going at one time, just do one at a time and get it done. But it doesn't quite work that way. But just like the freeways, it's like they always, we're road construction, we're going to help traffic. And 10 years later, when they get done with that, they have to start a new project because there's more traffic and it didn't make enough space there. Like, you know, look at all the building they've done over in Ontario Ranch. And then look at all the houses they're going to build. Wait for all the traffic that comes there. And they're going to have to redo all the roads that they've already done. Because what it seems to me when it comes to construction and to roads, they're always being worked on. That is the Christian life. You are constantly under construction. You will never arrive in this life. You'll never have it all figured out. You'll never be perfect. You're always a work in progress. And Paul said these words, and what I want you to understand, first of all, letter A is that God's faithful to complete the work he began in you. God will finish it. And, you know, we look and, are they ever going to finish these roads? I don't know if they're ever going to finish these roads, but the work that God's doing in you, he will finish what he starts. Paul said these words in Philippians 1:6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know and I'm confident that God is going to finish what he started. Now, if Paul was sitting on a beach on the Mediterranean Sea when he penned these words, we'd be like, oh, that's good. Good words. He's in prison. And think about that. Think on that one for a minute. Things are not going very well. And he said, I'm still confident where I'm at today that God is going to finish the work that he started. And I want to remind you this morning, God is still doing a work in you. Trust him. Trust the process. And you're a work in progress. The day you think you've arrived is the day you've fallen further behind. We will never arrive this side of glory. Keep growing. Keep working. We're all a work in progress. Letter B. Living intentionally means trusting his timing and not becoming discouraged when progress feels slow. Great example of that. You go down Euclid here and you see all of these industrial buildings. For a long time, there was a sign just north of the airport. You got Flo's. Everyone knows where Flo's is. Just north of Flo's, there's a big old thing there. They had a sign for a long time saying they were putting an industrial building there. And I saw nothing for a long time. And eventually, as time went on, you finally saw the cement slab got laid. And then it seemed like that cement slab laid there for a long time. Lori, concrete. My bad, right? Concrete. You're welcome. She's a concrete worker, so I got to say. She was rolling her eyes back there at me. So it's concrete. Cement is the mix that goes to make the concrete, right? Okay, see, I just had to make sure I got that right for her. She was going to tune me out the rest of the message, so I had to make sure I could say what needed to be said. I always think cement, concrete, and I'm like, if I say it wrong, she's going to give me a look back there. And you did, so it doesn't fail. So, anyways, where did I go before Lori messed me up right there? the slab of concrete down there. It seemed like it sat there a long time. And are they ever going to build anything? And then I feel like 2 days later, I drove by, and the walls were all up. It's like, that came out of nowhere. It's amazing how fast they put those walls up. But sometimes, the progress in your Christian life, the signs there saying, I'm doing a work, and you're like, something needs to start happening. What's going on? And then there are times you're like, let's slow it down a little bit. This is too much change, too much growth. Slow down! Trust him in the midst of it. To everything the Bible says, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. That song in the hymnal, he makes all things beautiful in his time. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We want now, and growth takes a long time. I noticed this the other day. We've got these two strawberry farms, the one over here on Cypress and the one up on Riverside and Mountain. And it's amazing to me, the one up on Riverside and Mountain, the strawberry plants are all gone. It's all dried out and dead, but they still have strawberries there, so who knows where they're getting them from. But you'll see before too long, they'll have workers out there that will plant little plants, and they don't just bear strawberries the next day. They water them, they fertilize them, they take care of them, and over time, eventually, the strawberries will come. Last year, we took some boysenberry shoots from someone's boysenberry, and I'm a boysenberry fan. It's a Knott's Berry Farm thing, but boysenberries are just a blessing. They just are. And I think they're better than raspberries and blackberries. Boysenberries about as good as it gets. But do you know we've had them now for almost a year? And they have not produced one boysenberry because they take time. And we want the immediate when God says, I'm doing something. Just relax. Trust him. Trust his timing. As it says in the Bible, wait on the Lord. We need to trust him and wait on him. With that in mind this morning, I want to give you a few thoughts over the past 3 weeks that I want you to think on. You don't need to answer these today, but you can answer these sometime soon. The first one is this. Number one, what is one area where I need to live more intentionally? I think it'll do us all well to do it in multiple areas, but just one. Even start with one, or list several if you've got several in your life. What is one area where I need to live more intentionally? How about this one, number two? What's one specific action I'll take this week to align with God's purpose? That could be spending more time in the Word. That could be more prayer. There's several things that could be listed there. And then as you all turn the page, you're at the very end. I love hearing Bibles turn. I like hearing that one. Those pages turning just aren't as quite as crisp as the Bible sounds. And I'd love to make a Bible app that when you like flip to the next one, it sounds like a Bible page turning. I think that would be great. I love the sound of Bible pages turning. But anyways, number three, how can I trust God to complete his work in me? You know, one of the ways that you can trust him more is by reading in his word and trusting him. Another one's the experiences in life. The longer you're a Christian, the more you're going to have to trust him. And the more you trust him, the more you see that he never fails and you can trust him. And that never changes. The Lord wants to do a work in us. He made you for a purpose. You are unique and one of a kind. And God has a plan. It would do us well to submit to his plan and let the Lord have his way in our lives. And not only that, it would do us well to start taking the plan that he has and the things he's already told us that we should do and intentionally do them. Everything, you're doing it for the Lord. Sometimes we get this backwards. Kids will be like, well, my parents want this, I'm doing it for them. No. You do it for the Lord. Oh, my boss wants this. Oh, you do it for the Lord. My spouse wants this. You do it for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And that's where some, well, it's hard to put up with that person. Well, are you doing it for that person or are you doing it for the Lord? Big difference. If I'm doing it for the Lord, I can forgive that person. If I'm doing it for that person and know that they're going to do the same thing again, it's hard to do. Purpose. Living with intention. And that intention is when you know what God wants you to do, give God everything you got and do what he wants you to do. Because he's given you everything in his son. You couldn't ask for anything better than what God's given you in your life. So live for him. Give him 100%. Someday we will all stand before God. And I know as Christians, we love the fact that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We love the fact we're not going to be at the great white throne judgment. But there is this judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. And there's not going to be one of us that stands there before God and feels like we did enough. We're all going to have, as that old song used to say, I wish I'd given him more. So instead of wishing it, why don't you start giving him more? Because even you give him everything you got, and it's still not going to be enough. He did so much for us. He's been so good to us. He loves you. He's there for you. Let's live our lives and follow him and serve him. Father, we thank you for the plans that you've made in our lives. Lord, help us each day as we live to live on purpose, trusting in your guidance and your working and the good works that you prepared before us. Help us to realize the fact that we're all a work in progress and we are not where we need to be, and help us to go to the master builder and let you lead us and guide us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I wonder, as we dismiss here in a moment, if there's someone here who would say, hey, Pastor Brian, if I died today, I'm not sure I'm safe. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'll simply pray for you, and I'll find a time that we can get together and talk more about heaven. I wonder if there's someone who would say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up today, anybody? I'm not going to embarrass you, not call you out. Father, according to this room, these are all your children. Help us to realize the work that you're doing. Help us to submit to your plan. And help us let you lead and get on board with you and give you all that we can and bring you glory in this life. You're an awesome, amazing, wonderful God. We love you. We need you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.